again, it is a blessing to be back here in the Lord's house today. I'm going to ask you, if you would, turn with us in the Word of God to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of that chapter in Galatians chapter 4. Word of God states, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Father, as we come before your precious throne of grace, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Father, we realize that you're almighty and that you're holy. And Father, we praise you for your holiness today. We know, Father, that you know our lives. You know everything about us. Father, you created us. We were created in your image. And so, Father, as being created in your image, Lord, there are three parts to us, just like there is the Holy Trinity. We know and believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask today that you would allow your Holy Spirit, Father, to work in the midst of this congregation. Father, to speak to those that are lost in this congregation. Father, to speak to those that have great need in this congregation. Father, speak to the young and the old, the middle-aged, Lord. And Father, wherever we may be in our life, we pray, Father, that even if we have accepted you, Father, that today would be the day, Lord, that we would recommit our lives unto thee. Father, we love you today, and we just want to lift you up. Father, we realize today that time is short. We feel like today, Lord, that you're soon sending your Son back into this world. And Father, when that time comes, Lord, we ask that you might allow each one of us in this congregation today to be saved, to know where we're going, and Lord, to rise up with you. What a blessed day that's going to be. A great reunion in the sky. And Father, today we ask now that you would take charge in this service. Have your will in your way in all things that are said and done. Bless again already this singing. And Father, we thank you for those songs and how, Lord, they bring our heart to think about thee. And then, Father, we also ask now that you would undergird me and strengthen me. Lord, hide me behind your cross, Lord, that others may not see me, but, Father, that they might see Christ through me. Father, help me, use me. In Jesus' name I ask this prayer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Do y'all remember those old alarm clocks that we used to use? You know, the little round ones and the little platform that it sat on. You wound the thing up, you know, and it had this little slide thing on there for soft or loud. Had a little button you push to stop the ringer, that ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, you know, that goes off so early in the mornings, you know, and you'd push that little button. Well, you know, the world has advanced, haven't they? You know, now they've got these digital alarm clocks and things, and folks don't even use those a lot now. They use their phones because it has alarms on it and things. And wow, I'm wondering if that really is a move forward or a move backwards. I'm not quite sure on that. But the thing is that those alarms were something to wake us up, to get us going, to get us moving. Well, today I want to speak to you on the subject of God's alarm clock. God's alarm clock. Someone has said an alarm clock is a contraption designed to scare the daylight into us, not out of us. We need the daylight scared into us, though. I really believe that. We need the light of the Lord scared into us. The light of the Lord is something that comes to us through salvation. And as His light then overshadows the darkness that's in our life, that light then opens up an opportunity for us to be able to go to heaven. But we cannot gain that light. We cannot receive that until we ourselves open up our heart to the Lord. It doesn't matter how dark the days are before you. It's turning your heart and your life over to the Lord that will bring that light there. And as He said here in this scripture, it's time. You know, we talk about alarm clocks, we talk about the alarm, but we also talk about time today. And there are several times in the Bible when God mentions what time it is according to His time clock or to His alarm clock. Again, this scripture here in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Galatians, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." When the fullness of the time was come. In other words, what God is saying to us, when it was time that God said that I'm going to send my Son into this world, that He allowed His Son to come into this world and to be born. Now, why? Well, the fullness of the time was the fact that this world had gotten to a place where God had already initiated way, way back in time that His Son would be born, that He would be able to bring redemption to this world, that the world then might be redeemed through His Son and through the price that His Son was going to pay on the cross of Calvary. Now, we know what that price was. He gave His life. He shed His own blood that each and every one of us might be redeemed, as that song said earlier today. That we're only redeemed by His blood, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now you say, "Preacher, how can that blood that was shed some 2,000 years ago save me today? How can that blood that was shed 2,000 years ago get me to heaven today?" Well, my friends, it's all about our sin and the repentance that we do. You see, His blood is precious blood. It is powerful blood. It is a blood that had no sin in it. Blood that had no curse in it. Because He is the Son of God. And because of that, His blood being precious and being pure, His blood is able then to cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Now, isn't it amazing how red blood can make us white as snow? But that's exactly what it does in the sight of God. When God looks at us after we're saved, He sees the blood of Christ, just like it was in the Old Testament when they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and over the top of the lintel of the house. And when they did that, the death angel would pass by, and if the blood was there, the death angel did not come into that house and take the firstborn son. But what God did, my friend, is show us and foreshadow that one day there in the New Testament that Jesus Christ would be born, that He would come and He would give His life and He would shed His blood that we could be saved. Amen. Powerful, powerful blood. And that's how His blood can save us today. 2,000-year-old blood can save us today. "Preacher, I don't see that blood. I haven't touched that blood." But His blood can touch us, my friend. And just because we haven't seen it does not mean that we cannot believe in it and trust in it. So He says here, "In the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son." Now notice this, it says, "made of a woman, made under the law." It's something interesting there that He points out that God's Son was made of a woman, but not made of a woman and of a man. And that teaches us that, yes, there was a conception there, that God came upon Mary through the Holy Ghost and overshadowed her and allowed her to become with child. That is a miracle within itself. Joseph was not included in that. Joseph was able to help raise Jesus there for a few years of his life. The Bible after that doesn't really tell us exactly what happened to Joseph, but evidently Joseph must have passed on because Joseph was older than Mary when he married her. And so as we look at this morning's lesson, I want us to think about God's alarm clock. And I want us to think about an alarm that goes off, but I also want us to think about time. I mentioned a few moments ago in my prayer that I told the Lord I really believe that we're in the last days. I believe the time has fastly approached and we're in the last of the last of the last of the days. And I don't think this old world's going to be able to go much farther than it is now. It is exactly how God told us that it would be. He says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so would it be when we would be in this day and time now." I paraphrase that verse. I want to share with you today four alarms. Four alarms that God gives us in His Word and shares with us as well of our time and His alarms. First of all, God's alarm clock is going off all around us today. How many of y'all have noticed all the things that have been happening in not just in America, but in our world? I mean, there are wars and rumors of wars going on all around us right now. And he told us that in the last days this would be. We find also that the Bible has a mention of a few other alarms that are going off as well. First of all, I want you to take your Bible now and turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we'll look down at verse 11 there. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. He states there, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. I also want you to notice verse 7. In verse 7 he says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." It's time to wake up, my friends. It's time to wake up. God is allowing his alarm clock to move forward. He's allowing things to happen in our life. And God is saying, wake up, people, wake up. And I believe that there are a lot of churches tonight and today that are sleeping. I'm reminded of a message, I believe it was Paul that was preaching this message. And the back of the church, he sat way up high, and the man went to sleep in church. And when he went to sleep in church, he fell. And when he fell, he died. And I believe that's the way a lot of people are in our churches of today. I think they're sitting on our pews and they're asleep. Now I do not mean that you're asleep physically. Now, sometimes some of you are. And I've told you the story about the man in South Carolina when I pastored Cedar Creek Baptist Church. His name was Colin. And everybody gave him to me and they said, "He is now your Uncle Colin." Because nobody really cared for him. But Uncle Colin, he was a man that he loved the Lord. People just didn't quite understand him. And so one day Uncle Colin was sitting there by his wife, and I was preaching a message. I was hot into it, and y'all know I'll come down off the pulpit into the aisle. And that Sunday morning I came off the pulpit down into the aisle, and Uncle Colin had gone to sleep. And his wife Mary, when he would go to sleep, would take her elbow and she would punch him like this. Well, she did that two or three times, and he kind of pushed her hand back and dozed back off. I guess he was tired. And so I came down, and Mr. Colin, he would take his hair. He didn't have much on top, so he'd take what was on side, and he would pull it over. You know, they call that comb over, you know. And he would take that little comb over, and he would plait it down, you know, and put spray on it. He was very particular, especially very particular with his hair of what he had. And that Sunday morning, I came out there onto the aisle just like this, and Uncle Colin was sitting about where Johnny is, and I came out there, and I just patted him on the head like this while he was asleep. You know what Uncle Colin did? Uncle Colin stood up like this and looked at me. After service, everybody said, "I cannot believe that you came out and you touched Uncle Colin on the head." And I said, "Why?" Because he is so particular with his hair. They said, "If anybody could do it, Pastor, you was the only one that could do it." Thank you, Johnny, for letting me use you as an example there. Wasn't he a good example? Even though he doesn't have a comb over. You see, there's a lot of times in our churches where people really do go asleep. You're tired, I understand that. Sometimes it's warm in the church and you sit there and you're cuddled up to your wife or your husband and your grandchildren or whomever, you know, and you just kind of doze off. Well, that's, you know, neither here nor there, but when you doze off in the spirit, that's really bad. And see, we don't never need to be dozed off in the spirit. We don't never be sleeping in the spirit. In other words, what I'm trying to say today is we need to be always active in our spirits. We need to always be ready at any moment, at any time, to go home to be with the Lord. Amen. And so it's high time that we wake up. And I say to the church today, and if this was another church that I was preaching in, I would say the same thing to that church. It's high time that we wake up and we realize that today might be the day that Jesus Christ is coming back. It's time to wake up. And God is saying, wake up, because there's such a great need for the slumbering saint to wake up. A man came into church and he thought that he would impress his pastor. And so he said, "Pastor, give me a good prayer to pray unto entering the sanctuary." The pastor knew him and knew his habits, and so the pastor suggested. He said, "Why don't you pray? Now I lay me down to sleep." Well, that's the way it is sometimes, isn't it? The Bible teaches that time is short, and I truly believe that. The Bible also teaches us that our salvation is nearer than we have ever believed. There are three tenses to salvation that I want to point out to you today. The first tense is this: I was saved. The second tense is I am now being saved. And the third tense is I shall be saved. So we as Baptists, the Baptist doctrine teaches us that I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. I'm saved when I come to the altar and I ask Christ to come into my heart and I repent of my sins. I'm saved at that very moment. But each and every day after that, God is keeping me saved, so I am still being saved during that time period. I am still repenting of my sins. I am still working to get things right in my life. I'm still working through a lot of things in my life that God wants me to get rid of, and so I'm being saved. But my friend, at the end of our life, praise God, I am saved. I will be saved at that time. I'll be safe in the sky when the Lord comes back and we're going home with Him. I'll be saved then, and I'm on my way to heaven at that point in time. But by the way, we're on our way to heaven right now. We're on the journey right now. We're on the road, you see. We're on the road to go home to be with our Lord and our Savior. And I say this today, the time is short. You know, it seems like the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the sleepier some of the saints become, though. There is God's alarm clock going off everywhere in this church today and in other churches all across this land. There are war songs. There are earthquake signs. There are outer space signs. There is the apostasy signs that's in our churches of today. There are signs of the return of Israel to the Holy Land. When they came back to the Holy Land, this was prophesied. And so it is time. Dr. Vance Havner said he was riding on a train one day with a man and discussing the signs of the time. The man was so amazed, he said, "Dr. Havner," he said, "if someone wrote it in a book, nobody would believe it." Dr. Havner just simply replied, "Sir, someone has already written it in a book and nobody believes it." How sad it is today that nobody believes that the Lord's coming back. Or if they do, they act like they don't believe it because they live their lives ever how they want to live their lives. They live their lives in some type of distress. They live their lives in heartache, in pain, and they continue doing that even though it hurts them and their families and the lives that they're messing up. Their most important life they're messing up is their own life, and not realizing that God wants to save them, that God wants to include them into that heavenly throng that goes up to heaven one day. See, not only is it time to wake up, it's also time to face up. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it is the first to begin with us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What will the end be to each and every one of us? God is saying that we need to face up. Take your Bible now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. That's a little bit farther on there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look down to verse 17. First Peter chapter 4, verse 17 states, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" I mean, think about it. If we are the ones in the church and the body of Christ, if we're the ones that we're to face up to these things, if we're the first ones, what about those that do not obey God? It's going to be sad. It's going to be really sad, my friend. God wants all of us to face up to Him. Now, what does that mean, facing up? It means realizing that you're a sinner, realizing that you're responsible for your own sins, that you're the one that has done this. Nobody did it to you. Nobody pushed you to sin. The devil doesn't do it to you. Do you know the devil cannot make you sin? The devil can hurt you. The devil can harm you. But the devil cannot make you sin. It is without his power. He does not have that kind of power in this world. So why do you sin then? Well, God tells us that when Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and God cast them out, there was a curse that was put upon mankind. And that curse was that he would have to work by the sweat of his brow. But that began the sin nature. And every one of us, from that time on, we've all been born with that same nature. It is within our nature to commit sin. And the only thing that changes that nature is the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, getting saved, which means that I must confess my sins, I must repent of my sins, and ask Jesus into my heart. And if I do that, then I become back into fellowship with God, and my sin then is covered by the blood. And as that sin is covered by the blood, that sin nature is still within us. We still live in this world and that sin nature is there. But then now the Holy Spirit lives within us too. And that Holy Spirit reminds us that this that I'm doing today is wrong. This is against God. This is against your salvation. And we must change that. So what happens? That facing up is when you realize that you've done wrong. And you are yourself accountable for that. And God will condemn you for that. Especially if you've never been saved. Do you know what the condemnation then is? The condemnation for those that have never been saved and those that never accept Jesus Christ is going to an eternal hell. The Bible tells us that hell is a place where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's hurt and there's pain. You think you've been hurt and you think you've been in pain in this world? Listen, my friend, you've never been any pain. You can't even imagine any type of pain, any type of distress like you had here that would be in hell. Right. Hell will be so much worse. Right. Thousands and thousands of times worse than what you've been through here. Knowing that today, I'll be honest with you, my friends, I would want to make sure I got saved right now. You see, the corrective judgment for individuals and for the church, for us this day, just to face up to our sins. Face up to the fact that we've not committed our lives to the Lord. That we're not as close to God as we should be. That we're not standing as we should. We sing that old song, "The Old Rugged Cross." To that cross I'll ever be true. I wonder how many times that challenge is really put to us. The old rugged cross, I'll be true. You see, it's time to wake up. It's time to face up. But I believe also it's time to sober up. I mean, it's time to get awake, you see, and get clear-minded, become clear-headed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29 through 30, he says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not." You see, the Apostle Paul is saying that we as a Christian ought to be living in the urgency of this time. He said the time is short. How many of y'all have ever been to a store or a drugstore or something of that nature, and the store closed at 9 o'clock and you got there at 8:59, you know? Anybody ever done that? You know? And what do you do? I mean, you're flying down the road, you know. blue lights flashing behind you, but you don't see them, you don't care. You're running on down, you know. I got to get there. It's closing at 9 o'clock, and it's 8:59 right now, and you're pulling in the driveway, and you pull up to the window, you go to the door, and the door's already locked. And it's still 8:59, and you go to the person who comes to the door and you say to them, you don't close until 9. And it's only 8:59, you know. Wow. The doors are closed, though. You see, what Paul is saying here in this scripture and what God wants us to understand is time is short.
Right.
And time is so valuable. And that alarm is going off right now to let us know that God is doing everything He can to help us. He's giving us all this extra time. And I believe that's what we're living on right now. I think we're living on extra time, or what might be called borrowed time. And because of that, the urgency should be there. Just as the urgency is for you to get to that store before 9 o'clock. Just as that urgency is for you to get something done when it needs to be done. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. There's nothing more important that needs to be done than your eternal life and getting saved. Nothing more important. And we need to wake up. We need to face up. But we need to sober up to the fact that there's an urgency to this. Why, preacher, do you preach Sunday after Sunday and preach about salvation? Because I know, my friends, I know time is short. I know it's short. And we've got to get ready, you see. And not just get ready, we have to accept Jesus Christ. Because, my friend, it might be in the very next 10 minutes that the Lord comes back. And what if you're not saved then? What if you don't know Jesus as your Savior? What will you do then? I mean, you can't beg Him at that point in time to take you with Him, because He's not going to do it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that when the Lord comes back and the trumpet call is blown and Christians hear that trumpet call and we rise up in the sky after the graves burst open and those people rise up in the sky that are saved. Listen, my friends, I believe that lost people, they're not going to know what's going on anyway. So they're not going to beg God at that time to save them. He says in verse 29 that our families cannot come first. He tells us in verse 30 that our worries cannot come first. He says in verse 30 that our pleasures cannot come first. He also tells us in verse 30 that our possessions cannot come first. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29 through 30. I'm going to read it again. He says, but this I say, brethren. And when he says brethren, he there is talking to saved people. This I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. That's the families. Families can't come first, my friend. Now, I know that sounds weird because, you know, you've been taught that your family is important and your family is important, but God is more important, you see. And a lot of times people will say, well, my family don't go to church and so I'm not going neither. Well, my family is lost and so I'm not going to get saved neither. Listen, my friends, don't wait on your family. Don't let your family hold you back. Get right with God. And then he goes on, he says, and they that weep as though they wept not. Listen, my friends, why do we weep sometimes? Because we get worried, you know. We get worried about things that are going on. We get worried about our lives and the reasoning behind that. And it gets us into a turmoil. And then we begin to weep and cry. And it just gets worse. He says, don't do that. And then he says, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not. Our pleasures. Sometimes we say, well, I can't get saved because if I get saved, I won't be able to have no more fun. I'll have to be like all them other people down there at that church, you know, all boring and dull. Answer me this, Christians. Are y'all boring and dull?
No, sir.
Everybody should have said no, sir, right there. Amen. We're not dull. Y'all think I'm dull?
No,
think I'm boring? Well, don't answer that one. Listen, my friends, being a Christian is one of the most exciting things in this world. God has so much for us and so much excitement that He gives to us and builds within us. I mean, it's just exciting to do what I'm doing right now. It was exciting to sing the songs of God up here a while ago. It was exciting to come out and fellowship with you and shake your hands. That's excitement. Every single service, I think, wow, how exciting it's going to be. I wonder what new people are going to be here today. And we got new people here today, praise God. It's exciting to see people. It's all that old preacher, he don't care about us. Yes, I do. But I'm going to tell you something, my friends. God cares more about you than anybody. But he also says this in that verse. He says, they that buy as though they possessed not. You can't put your possessions in front of God neither. Well, I can't come to church. I can't pay my tithes until that house gets paid for, you know. Who do you think gave you the house? It was God, wasn't it? I mean, where do you think the job that you have, where do you think the money comes from that is given to you from that job that you have? So, preacher, I work 40 hours a week. I work 90 hours a week. And that's why I get that money, you know. Well, somebody had to give somebody an opportunity to start that business and start that company, didn't he? Everything goes back to God in this world. And we are to give God our time, our talents, ourselves, our monies. It's time to start putting God first. Church, it's time to start putting God first. Lost person, it's time for you to start putting God first. Well, we've talked about God's alarm clock that wakes us up. Talked about God's alarm clock that helps us to face up. God's alarm clock. Now I want us to think about the fact that it's time to look up. Amen. Over in the Old Testament in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. If you've never read the book of Hosea, you ought to read it sometimes. Hosea is a very forgiving person. Very forgiving. And he was forgiving because of the Lord. And it says there, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Now, how many of y'all farmers in here? Anybody? Any farmers in here? Thank you, Jacob. You was the first one that raised your hand. That's a little farmer right there for you. Oh, it was funny. Yesterday, Debbie was looking at some videos. And she showed me this video of this little boy. And he was out there with his daddy. They were at the back of the truck. And this little boy had a cup of corn in his hand. And that little boy would reach in that cup, and he would get him a little handful of corn, and he would throw it on the ground. And says, come on, dear. Come on, eat this corn so we can kill you. And he'd reach in that cup again, throw the corn out, and he'd say, come on, dear, come on, eat this corn so we can kill you. Well, you gotta plant the corn before you can throw it out for the deer, right? You see, my friend, what do you have to do to plant the corn, though? Well, you know, in the wintertime, the ground gets hard, doesn't it? And I know around here there's a bunch of farmers, these big old fields around here, and how they soak it down with that that juice that they put on it, you know, to make things grow. And then they got to get out there and they got to get those big old disc cars out there, and they start breaking that ground up, you know. And when they start breaking that ground up, that ground's gotten hard. That hard ground is called fallow ground. And you see, that's what happens sometimes in our hearts. Our hearts get hard. Our hearts get crusty. That's the way Pharaoh was. Pharaoh's heart was hardened against God. And his heart never did get broken up. But listen, my friends, I don't want you to be that way. I don't want your heart not to ever be broken up. I believe today that God is working and God wants to break up your stony ground. He wants to break up that fallow ground in your heart, and so that you can get right with God and you can move with God and you can be excited and go home to be with the Lord. It's time to look up. What time is it? It's time to look up. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to get right with Him. It's time to break up that fallow ground and get ready for His coming. Because I promise you, He's coming. A young preacher got in the pulpit one day, and this was one of his first messages as the pastor of that church. And so he wanted to really, really let the people know that he knew the Word of God. He wanted to impress the people, you know. And so he was preaching about the coming of the Lord. And over on this side of the pulpit, he would preach and say, "He's coming!" And he'd go on the other side of the pulpit and he'd shout real loud, "He's coming!" And back and forth three or four times, he would tell them, "He's coming." And about that time, he lost his footing on the pulpit and fell down right in the lap of Miss McGillicuddy. Big old woman. And he stands up, you know, all ashamed and everything. He stands up and says, "I'm sorry, Miss McGillicuddy." And Miss McGillicuddy, with as stern a face as she could, she says, "That's all right, Pastor. You told us that he was coming." Oh, my goodness, friends. That's funny. But what's not going to be funny is when the Lord comes back and you're not ready. You see, we can laugh at things like that, but you won't be able to laugh at that. You won't be able to laugh. Only thing you'll see is tears in your eyes. And there's a time even worse than that. There's a time that comes when the Lord says time is done. And when the Lord says time is done, it's going to be like this if you're lost. If you're lost, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will stand before God in judgment. And if you've never accepted Him, He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity." Iniquity is another word for sin. In other words, basically He's saying, "Sinner, get away from me. You have no part in heaven. You have nothing to do up here. Depart from me, for I know you not. Your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life." Say, "Well, preacher, what happens then?" Well, then He's casting you into hell. You say, "Preacher, why does He do that to me?" He's not doing it to you. You did it to yourself. You didn't obey Him. You didn't trust Him. You didn't receive Him. And so He cast you into a place of outer darkness, a place of eternal darkness, a place that you will never, ever return from. We just came through the season of Halloween. And in Halloween, people, they magnify the darkness, if you will. Very dark time. Very evil time. The things that you have magnified in that time, oh, my friends, you're going to be scared. Those scary movies that they come out with at those times, those killing movies and stuff like that where there's nothing but blood everywhere and guts and gore. My friends, that's nothing compared to how ugly and how evil it's going to be in hell. And you can't escape it. Daily, your sins will be reminded to you. Daily, your disobedience and not accepting Jesus as your Savior will be reminded to you. And you'll never get away from it. See, no matter what is in store for your life tomorrow, it doesn't matter. Because if you do not accept Jesus today, if you reject Him today, it'll never change. So I'm asking you today, friend. I'm asking you today to wake up. The alarm clock's going off. It's time. It's time to get right with God. I heard that alarm clock going off when I was 15 and a half years old. I'd held on to the pews just like this every single Sunday morning until that day. And that day I held on to them too, but something told me to let go. Let go. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. I knew I'd done some evil stuff. And God said, get it right. I could not wait. I pushed people out of my way to get down to the altar to ask Christ into my heart. And I have never been the same since then. I'm so thankful that God saved me. I'm so thankful I know I'm going to heaven, my friends. What about you? Have you woke up yet? Have you woke up yet? With everyone standing, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one peeking. I'm going to ask you a question, friends. The same question I just asked you. Have you woke up? Have you woke up yet? You see, there's an opportunity for you today to get right with God. There's an opportunity today for you to be saved. And I'm asking you right now, my friends, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you died right now, do you know you're going to heaven? Say, preacher, I don't know that. But I want you not just to pray for me, I want you to show me how I can receive that. Is there someone in the service that would raise their hand and be honest? I mean, just simply be honest and say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved, but I want to be saved. Is there somebody there? Is there somebody there? I don't know if I'm saved, preacher. Will you slip up your hand where you are so that I can see that? Maybe you say, preacher, I'm a Christian, I'm a church member, and I can hear that alarm clock. I can hear it ringing like I used to remember that clock to do. Preacher, there's been some things in my life I've walked away. And I'm asking you to pray for me today. Will you slip up your hand where you are so I can pray for you today? Is there one anywhere? God bless you. God bless you and you. Someone else today, God bless you. Walked away, God bless you. Father, as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, I've tried to preach your word. I've tried to be obedient, Lord. Tried to give the people, Lord, what you've asked me to give them. And Father, now it's up to them. I've obeyed you, Father, but now they must obey you as well. And Father, I ask you now, Lord, that you would help those that raise their hands to make those commitments, Lord. Those that are lost in this service to make those commitments to be saved. Father, I ask you, Lord. And Father, you told us to come before you and pray and to ask you these things. And Lord, you told us that you would answer our prayers. And so, Father, I pray for commitment. I pray for dedication and rededication. I pray for salvation this day. And Father, in advance, I'm going to go ahead and thank you, Lord. Because, Father, we know that you want to do these things. You don't want us walking away from you. And you don't want us to be lost. Father, you love us. That's why you sent your Son to die on the cross. And Jesus, that's why you died. That's why you gave your life. No one took your life. So, Father, I'm asking you to save these, Lord. I'm asking you to help these others to recommit their lives. In the name of Jesus, we ask this prayer. Amen. We'll ask Sister Heather to come. We're going to sing a number of invitation today and whatever God has laid on their heart. And I'm just asking you, I'm sure God's laid something on your heart today. He's made you think about something. Maybe something in your life you've done. Maybe something in your life you've been thinking about doing, and you just haven't done it yet. Maybe it's salvation. You've not walked forward yet. Maybe it's recommitment. You've not walked forward yet. You're afraid. You're ashamed. And that's okay, because God will meet you where you're at, my friends. He doesn't ask you to be any different to come and get right with Him. He just asks you to simply come. And so I'm asking you to do that today as we sing. You listen to God today. Honor Him. I'm waiting, yielded, and still. Have you yielded? Have you yielded to the Lord? Have you moved yourself out of the way and let God come in? You see, that's what that alarm clock's about. It's about moving yourself out of the way and letting God come into that place. How about it, friend? God's given you another chance right now. This may be your last chance. Don't miss hell. Listen, my friend, don't miss heaven, rather, because of something that's happened in your life. Don't miss heaven, my friend, because of the troubles and trials that you're in. Don't miss heaven because of that, because your final place will be in hell. How about it? Sister Heather, if you would come, sing one more stanza. We're singing it for you. Friends, it's so good to see you today. If God has spoken to you today, and I believe He has spoken to some folks, please listen to the Lord's Spirit. If I can help you after this service, I'll be more than glad to. Friends, I want you to trust the Lord. I love our church, but it's time for our church to wake up also. I love our church, but we got to wake up. There's people dying and going to hell every single day out there. We must be ready. We must be ready. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father and Almighty God, I'm so thankful for your blessings. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you give people the courage, Father, to be honest, and Lord, to raise their hands and ask for prayer, because they know that they've slipped away from you. And Father, today many raised their hands, and Lord, again, I pray for them. I pray, Father, that you would help them, Lord, to get back to where they need to be. Father, to truly be awake. Lord, time is short. And we know that. But Father, I ask you for just a little bit more time. Father, because I feel that they're lost in our congregation today, and Lord, they need to be saved. And it breaks my heart, Lord, that they would walk out these doors, walk possibly into impending darkness, and never receive you. So, Father, I ask you today to give us just a little more time. Now, bless us as we leave this place. Give us traveling mercy. Lord, bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ryan, it's so good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, man.
Bless your heart. Bless you. Thank you. Hey, Jesse. Hey, bud, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good seeing y'all. Hey, good to see you. Kennedy, good to see you. Gunner. Hey, boys. Bless you.